Why is my mic so... Oh, Elsie's foot is on it.
Oh, my bad. Mia culpa.
Aí, você aí. Não tenta não, cumpai.
Hey, man, let me tell you, are we recording? I'll tell you what, if you keep doing this stuff, you're not going to get kicked out of this country because you were born here.
Right.
They're going to be mad at me, you, and kick me out of the country.
You're guilty by association,
yes,
bro.
They'd be like, we can't do anything about him. We taking him out. Bro. Remember that.
They were upset about that Maradona joke, bro.
They laughed. Like people one. Laughed, and then it was like,
oh.
Yeah.
Maradona. What's up, bro?
Man, let me tell you something. It's good to be back. Mm-hmm. Week two of the NFL, you know. Mm-hmm. But before week two starts, on the Jason and OC podcast, there's something it's very important that I think has been happening for the first 2 weeks of this season.
Yep.
And it's your t-shirt game.
Are you feeling my t-shirt?
I am feeling this shirt.
You're feeling my t-shirt.
I didn't even comment on it.
You did.
Because I wanted to hold it in until we started.
Yep.
My t-shirt game is lacking.
Okay.
So.
But your glasses game is strong.
I got to have one. I got to choose one, right?
Gotcha.
Can't overdo it.
Yep.
So I look on your website you sent me for the t-shirt game.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the prices and I deleted the app.
You're like, no.
OC, I'm looking at the phone. I'm like, ooh, that's fresh. I looked at the prices, stopped it, delete the app, put the phone down.
Put it up.
Done. I'm not even entertaining these decisions.
I can dig it.
Done.
I can dig it.
T-shirt game's fresh. The Mona Lisa on the black.
Yep.
Fading back. Mm-hmm. That's a fresh tattoo. I'm an art guy, you know that.
Yep.
I think that's dope.
I mean, the thing is, usually, I was buying my t-shirts off of Amazon. $8, $9. This is because I was like, whatever.
Yeah, just t-shirting it.
But, you know, I splurged a little bit. And then, oddly enough, last week, I got in an Uber. Mm-hmm. And the Uber guy said, enjoy your life, fool.
Once again, the Uber guy is making decisions for all of us.
Enjoy your life, fool.
Don't worry about your family and your kids. They're going to be okay.
They'll be fine. Because if something happens to you, your
wife. They're going to get another one.
Somebody else's wife.
You better get that t-shirt.
And so I said to myself, you know what? I'm gonna buy these t-shirts, man. I'm going to buy them, J-Bell.
Oh, God.
I'm going to buy those t-shirts.
You know what? I feel like.
I'm going to buy them.
I can't even focus, man. I can't even do this podcast. I can't even do this.
I'm going to spend that money, Jason.
I can't.
I'm going to leave my wife and kids with absolutely nothing. Just in case.
Just in case.
She's not going to be spending my money with on a new husband. It's not going to happen, Jason. We're going to enjoy this together.
You're going to have great memories.
Oh, man. You're going to have great memories.
You're going to have great.
You're gonna remember that time?
Remember when we used to? We had so much fun. They're going to be sleeping on your t-shirts.
This is horrible.
How did we get down this dark, dark rabbit hole? Oh, my. Let's back up the truck. Oh gosh. So, just like a good game, if you come in looking fresh, I mean, you're probably going to ball on the field, right?
Mm-hmm,
and that's how I feel about today. We came in, your shirt gave me inspiration, and we're going to go with it off of that. That being said, I have a couple things I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
First of all, before we get into the football side of it, did you expect the injury bug to hit this week?
I think it hits every at some point during the season, every season.
Yeah.
It's going to hit.
Yes.
I never expected the level and the impact players that this took away. Like this, you don't really see that too often, but this has been devastating. The amount of injuries and, you know, for certain teams and there's a lot of talk about why this happened. You know, they're saying, oh, is it because of a lack of preseason or but I don't understand how that could be, because regardless, your body is going to, the movements you're taking, you're doing in the game, you're doing these in practice. You understand what I mean? Like, you're doing these in practice.
Don't you think it's a little more intense
during the game?
In the game, yeah.
Not the way I practiced.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I practiced at game speed. And this was something that we, you know, we took pride in. Like, because we were like, okay, you're not just going to turn this on in the game.
It's not going to just happen.
No, it's not going to happen. So I would find, like, because, okay, when we would go ones against ones, which is starters against starters, during the season, you can't really go hard.
You're trying to look out for your brother.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. Right. But when we would go against twos or the scout team, it was on.
It was abuse.
It was on. It was on. And I would go again. I would get like a guy, offensive lineman. My years, it was like a guy named Will Beattie, who turned out to be a really good football
player.
He made
him a good player going 100%. Against you.
So we would go every single day. We were going hard. Like, it was like, we would say, it's game time on Will Beattie. Game time, this is what we would say to ourselves, and we're practicing full speed. So,
and he knew it was go time.
Oh, it was his thing. He enjoyed that. This was how he was going to get better. And so we would practice at that tempo. So I don't necessarily think that when you get to a game, you're doing anything that you wouldn't have done in practice. Right. I don't think That's not the way I practice. That's not the way we practice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't know if this, you know, lack of preseason actually contributed to people getting injured now. Mm. I mean, what do you think? You think it did?
I think you make a good point in that there are certain players that put demands on their body. Now, getting injured is... I'm not making it a person's fault. Things happen.
Yeah.
We both
have. It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. But I think there is a way and a level that you can prepare yourself to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the preseason matters. And sometimes, you know, you get to, they call it getting hardened, right? You go out there and you just grind and grind and grind and your body kind of gets ready.
Yeah.
So I
unfortunately, I got injured in preseason and missed the whole year. But
yeah, me and you both.
Yeah,
but so we're not being hypocritical here.
Yeah.
It happened to us, and I think that gives us the ability to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that on the NFL.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. I'm just saying this is something show. That this is, if anything notable that happened this week, is a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And you know, our pick. Well, you didn't pick them, but I picked the 49ers.
Yeah.
And can I take my pick back because of injuries?
You're allowed.
Okay.
You're allowed. You can't, I mean, come on. What they've been hit with is ridiculous.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Like
can't,
that.
Can't win like that.
You got to have, your best ability is availability. Mm. And if you get knocked out like this, I mean, the rosters, I mean, you have top heavy rosters. You got all your talent, right? You got your big name players, your stars that are paid. And then you got your bottom half of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this. And when you knock out, you know, a certain percentage of the top end of your roster.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard to win.
Can't win. They get a pass. San Francisco gets a pass from me. Whatever happens.
Their strength, their defensive line, two of them out?
Yeah.
Bosa and Thomas, Solomon Thomas?
Yep. And Buckner went to the
Colts. And Dee Ford has been banged up. Yeah. I mean, you just –
can't win
you
that.
Have to. You can't win
Garoppolo,
like that.
High ankle sprain, out
I mean,
4 to 6 weeks.
It's can't tough. Win like that. And you've got the whole league. You got a ton of injuries, man, I'm looking at. And that's the storyline, I think, the overarching theme of this week. That being said, we had some must-see television by these quarterbacks. And my quarterback MVP was a man named Dak Prescott, right? Remember early on I said we were just talking.
Pick Prescott.
I did. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not standing strong here.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
Last week.
Yeah.
We talked about the thing he lacked.
Okay.
Which was, man, he doesn't close out games.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't win those comebacks, right? If he's playing ahead and all that kind of stuff, it's going down. Yo, the Cowboys made it happen.
Mm.
The Cowboys made it happen. Dak Prescott made it happen.
Mm.
You got to give the guy credit for this, OC.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, I'm not saying he's the MVP front runner at all.
Okay.
But I am saying since we said on our last podcast that the guy – didn't close out those games. We agreed. We looked at the stats, backed it up. The guy got one. Cowboys got it.
Okay. I would say that, and as much as I hate to say this,
yes,
because I 100% love Atlanta and the Falcons.
I know.
Big fan of that football team. Coaching staff, GM, players, I love Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. Good people over there.
Really good people. I would say that they lost the game rather than Dak Prescott won the game. That's what I saw.
Okay.
I mean, this is just what I saw. Now, obviously, Prescott had to make some plays, yeah. Yes. But I don't think that I saw him just slicing and dicing and just putting that team on his back. And I saw the Atlanta Falcons absolutely capitulate. This is what I saw. I saw them doing ridiculous things.
Yes.
And that being said, I'm still not going to say, oh, Dak Prescott. I'm just not going to say that, because the mistakes that the Atlanta Falcons, they were making high school level mistakes. They were secondary, mm-hmm. on special teams. Offensively, they played very, very well.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's playing good.
Playing very well. But on special teams and defensively, they were making grade school level mistakes. And we saw Russell Wilson torch them the week before.
Yeah.
And so I'm not ready to say, did he play well? Yes.
Yes.
But I've seen him play at that level for 3-4 years now. I have.
To your point, good point made. More games are lost than won.
Mm-hmm.
And you are right. I mean, if we, you know, when we can break, you know, you and I, we can go deep into games,
yep.
you know, and we do. But sometimes, you know, we try to keep it top level because yep. it's interesting storylines. But, you know, when you look at how, even in the red zone, mm-hmm. how Atlanta performed, you can't win games if you don't play well in the mm-hmm. red zone. We understand. Listen, it's a game of inches, right? You're trying to move the ball back and forth. But, you know, when you get down there in the red zone,
yep.
if you can't make it happen
yep.
offensively, you know, in your kicking game or scoring touchdowns or even on defense. Remember the Patriots years ago gave up a ton of yards.
Yeah.
But what happened in the red zone?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
That is where there's a nugget. Watch what teams do in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Watch how they execute. And also watch what they do on third down. Mm-hmm. Do they get the opposing team in third down a mm-hmm. lot? And are they able to convert? These are things they didn't do well. And
yep.
you're right. I mean, Atlanta lost this game.
Ridiculous.
They did.
Ridiculous.
They lost the game, man.
Come on.
But once again, more games are lost than won.
Yeah.
And that's why the small things, the attention to detail is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson.
I mean... I mean, that dude.
What?
What is going? He's always been a very high level performer.
Yeah,
he has. I think over the course of his career, he has been underrated. You know what?
That's crazy you say that, but it's true.
He's
been it because he's on the West Coast? You know how they talk about in the U.S. the East Coast teams get more love.
It's not because he's on the West Coast.
It isn't.
It is, okay. Okay, let me just put this out there.
Throw it out there, man, because I need answers.
Yeah, let me just put this out there. There is something about Russell Wilson that I think some people just don't like.
Yes. Yeah, he's, his optimism and his energy, I think, some people are turned off by it.
Yeah. And I think...
And I don't know why.
I can't understand.
No, because I would love... Yeah.
You would think that somebody with that kind of energy...
Yeah.
Right? And that kind of... he has like an underdog story.
And it's hard for that to connect when you're looking at his caliber of player. You're thinking, no, let this go. But no.
Think of the things that he's had to overcome. He has had to fight for everything.
Transferring schools.
He has had to fight for everything, right? But there's something about him that I think people just don't. And I think that it's translating into him being an underrated player. Mm. Because this is, you can't argue with what this guy has done. You can't argue with his body of work. You can't argue with his performances. No. But they always seem to be just casting him aside.
Yeah.
And it's, I just, it's, I identify with it.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this.
I identify with it. I identify with that.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Because I've always felt like, you know, in some instances, some of the things that I did were was overlooked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Never really could understand why. But in this particular instance with Russell Wilson, like, okay, when I look at, you know, myself, mm-hmm. right? Hard name to pronounce. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. Just, you know, maybe African guy. Just I was different.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was just different. So I could understand why you would.
Yeah.
Why you wouldn't really. Because as people, as fans, you like to identify with the people who you support.
Yeah.
You like to identify with.
Especially if something about them is familiar.
Right. And you couldn't really identify with me. So I get that.
Yeah, you had your own box.
Yeah, I get it. I completely understand it. I don't hold that against anybody.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. But with him, with Russell Wilson, I feel like people would really identify with him more. I feel like you would in some form or fashion, but they're just not. People are just not feeling him. And I can't quite wrap my finger or wrap my mind around why. With me, I get it, but with him, I don't. What do you think that is?
So I think you're onto something. And I think this year, maybe he's had these conversations with himself and people in his inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because when asked, I heard him, he was asked, are you the best quarterback in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, I believe I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't say this for sure, but, you know, he's always been politically correct.
Yep.
He's always said the right things, you know. And I feel like now he's like, yo, let's do this.
Right.
Like, yeah, I should be the guy with the ball in my hand instead of, oh, you know. People would ask him, you know, why weren't you throwing early in the game? You know, when they were down, you know, they put the ball in your hands and you made magic happen. And he would answer it correctly. He never answered it like, yeah, I should be.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I just think with the timing, I'm not sure. The way Pete Carroll is and the way the organization is in Seattle, it's just like go time for him.
Yeah.
And he is all about it. I mean, maybe it's all these kids he's having. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, the man. But you know what, OC? Yeah. You even said this to me one time about just personal stuff, and you were just talking about being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just telling me stuff and stories, and we were just having a conversation about something. The man seems happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He just seems so happy. He's out there letting it go. And he's like, my life is cool off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And on the field, it's on me. I'm the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel it. And he's saying it. And I think now everybody who didn't believe it, maybe they do now. But I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to be, listen, we're not crowning him.
Yep.
Because there's some bad boys out there this year
mm-hmm.
at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
It's some high flyers.
There's some high flyers, but I don't see anybody playing quarterback as well as he is. Not Patrick Mahomes. I don't see right now. I don't see anybody playing that position as well as he is.
Patrick Mahomes is right there, man. I mean, listen. It's what they do
not,
for the team.
I'm not saying Russell Wilson is a better quarterback. That's blasphemy. I'm not saying he's a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
But you have an argument, though.
I'm saying right now.
Right. He's something else.
Nobody's playing that position better than Russell Wilson. There's nobody playing nobody's playing the position better than him.
He's lights out.
It's ridiculous what he's
doing.
Can
I throw an old school guy out for you that's on his game that
mm-hmm.
you're going to love?
Mm-hmm.
What's up with Aaron Rodgers right now? Mm-hmm. Why? I think it was 40 points in two games in a row.
Yeah.
The Green Bay offense everybody was talking about, just a lack of identity and explosive plays and playmakers. And Aaron Rodgers, we know he likes yoga and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he was doing something because he is – he's balling. The team's balling.
The team is balling, yeah. And Aaron Rodgers also is playing that quarterback. When I'm looking at the people who have played the quarterback position the best these first 2 weeks, I'm looking at A-Rod and I'm looking at Russell Wilson.
Can't argue with that.
Right?
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
But everybody's at the top fighting right now.
There's a lot of people at the top. But when I think about Aaron Rodgers, and he's not going to admit this. You know, he's not going to admit this.
Oh, see, I've heard you get people to admit a lot of things. Yeah. So I'm not going to say that. In your interview skills, people have admitted a lot.
Right. But he won't admit this,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
But there's something about when you're a guy with a tremendous amount of pride in yourself, like Aaron obviously is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about somebody lighting that extra fuse up under you that makes you, you know, they say pressure, you know, pressure creates diamonds or it bursts pipes, right?
One of the two.
One of the two. They brought in this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan Love, I think is his name.
First round quarterback out of Utah?
Utah State.
Utah State.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I've experienced this before.
This has happened to you.
Yeah.
I remember.
I've experienced it before. And you like to think that this doesn't affect you or make you play better. Mm-hmm. But it always does, Jason.
It does, doesn't it?
It always does.
What happens on draft day when you see that happen? They bring a guy in, first round, top pick, your position. I'm not saying writing's on the wall, but it's, hey.
So
you've been put on notice.
Listen, I get drafted in 2003, right? 2004 happens, you know. 2005, they draft Justin Tuck. Now, Justin wasn't a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. Yeah. But he was supposed to be a first-round pick. I think he hurt his knee.
Right?
Yep. And he slid to the third round. So Tuck comes in, you know, 2005, right? So
I remember that.
Preseason happens, you know, Tuck's playing well, all right? I'm the starter now. Tuck is playing well. And then early in the season, you know, defensive coordinator starts to say, you know, we're going to stop putting in Justin Tuck.
Coordinator was an interesting fella, wasn't he?
We're going to stop playing him more. And they start reducing my reps. This is before.
That's the year before I got there.
Yeah.
I didn't know they put. Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You had just made the Pro Bowl.
No. 2005. I hadn't been to the Pro Bowl yet.
Okay.
I hadn't been to the Pro Bowl in 2005. Okay. So they start, you know, like, okay, they start taking me out of the game and then they start putting in Tuck. And I'm like, what's going on here? And so when I get in the game now, right?
Next level. Yeah.
And the first time they did this was against the Redskins. Happened in the first quarter. Washington, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
At that time, they were known as the Washington Redskins. But now they're the Washington football team. So they put him in, and I'm like, Second quarter, I go in, sack. I just, Jason, I'm talking about from the moment that happened.
Sack.
My game went to a completely different level. I end up getting like 13 sacks in the next, I don't even know how many games. I go to my first Pro Bowl. I'm an all-pro play, everything. Just from that. 2006 happens. Boom. They bring in Kiwi.
Yep.
First-round pick.
Yep. Because that's when I got there.
Yeah. I get hurt, so I miss a couple of games. You know, Kiwi's rotating in. 2007, they're like, okay, we're going to start rotating you. And I don't know about all that, buddy.
Not today.
Boom. Another Pro Bowl season, 07. 2008, you know, I missed with injury. 2009, I'm coming back. 2010, they're like, now it's like really official. They're like, listen, we're going to put, it's you and Kiwi's position, you and Kiwi. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about all that.
I don't share well. I don't share. I hope you notice I don't share well.
Boom, all pro season. So every single time that they brought in, you know, or not brought in, but they try to make a competition.
Yeah.
I elevated my game. And it wasn't conscious. I'm not saying that I thought to myself, oh, now I'm going to. No, it just kind of, something inside you just kind of switches. And I think this is what's happening with A-Rod. It's not a conscious, because he's been working hard the whole time.
Yeah, it's not like he just started.
He's been working hard the whole time. But there's just something about being in that kind of pressure situation that just elevates you or reduces you.
So there's some great coaches, and you know, so many of them. All they do is provide an environment that is that level of competition.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. When we talk about Seattle, this is what Pete Carroll thrives on.
Yep.
Competition. Compete. And I think you bring up a great point. And how else do you find those players if you don't provide that environment?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a level of understanding you have to have to your roster and your players and how you can push certain people. But that environment, that pressure cooker, players rise to the top.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter star to the bottom part of your roster. Remember, everybody's going to be called upon. And I'm just thinking of my situation, and it was always compete. It was always fight. And I always out-competed.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that's what I did. Every level I was ever on. And I would get frustrated by whatever approach the coaching staff took. And sometimes you think you're owed something. You're like, why are they doing this? But I just went out there and just did it.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy. And this is on another topic. I'm just bringing that. You know, that's one of the reasons that I'm doing Strictly.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's.
No, tell me. Tell me what you mean. I want to know exactly what you mean, Jason Bell. I called you Jason Bell, not Jay Bell.
Yeah, because you want to.
They're not going to call you Jay Bell on Strictly. They're going to call you Jason Bell.
Well, maybe if you
Bell.
Keep saying it, they might.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
Tell me exactly what you mean.
Pressure cooker.
Yes.
I think when you're put in a situation where you are around the best,
mm-hmm.
evaluated by the best,
mm-hmm.
being taught by the best, and being expected to perform, it pushes you in a way that you either respond or you don't.
Mm.
And it's not the outcome, winning, losing, things of that nature, OC. It's just what it does to a person.
Yep.
The skills that it makes you aware of that you might not know you had, how you respond to things, how you adjust to adversity. Like, you can't get those and you can't have those sharpened unless you're in those kind of situations, right?
Yeah.
And this is that kind of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that every challenge that I could ask for is probably going to be given to me.
Yes, it is.
And I'm probably going to question myself. I'm going to be worried. I'm going to be, you know, stressed out in a good way. But where else do you get these kind of skills?
Yeah.
Where else do you learn this much about yourself if you are not put in that kind of environment the same way good coaches do for players to get the best out of you?
Yep.
They want you to be great.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to put you in that environment mm-hmm. to fail.
Yep.
They want to see who the best is and why, and to teach you, you can be the best. This is how you motivate yourself. This is how you overcome adversity. And that's what I love about sports.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this.
You know, this is the thing about high-level athletes that fascinates me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think if this is for, like, I don't want to toot the horn of, you know, athletic people or athletes in general.
Yeah.
But if you're able to get people who have competed at that level who are also intelligent in a business environment or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, take them.
Hire them. Hire them.
I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing rehab. Speaking of injuries, mm-hmm. I went to go do, because all the injuries I had, you know, you'd go do rehab and
you gotta
things of that
you
nature.
You got to be careful with rehab like that, too. You got to be like injuries.
Injury rehabilitation, yeah. And I remember the lady who was doing my rehab, mm-hmm. she was just like, there is a clear difference between the mentality of athletes who come in here
yes.
and the mentality of people who haven't competed in that level
yes.
who come in here. She was like, she can push the athletes to a level
yeah.
and she knew that they will always just...
They'll respond.
Instantly yeah. just because of their nature. Their nature will make them just...
It's just programmed.
Compete. Yep. It's always competition.
Yeah, it's
and
always
she was
competition.
Like, she loved like rehabbing athletes because she knew that mentally they were able to go to a completely different place. And I was like, I'd never really thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Because I really hadn't. And
especially when you're surrounded
by athletes
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so this is the thing. Like, when you have people who do that,
mm-hmm.
they're able to just, you put them in any environment.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, listen, this is what we need to do. Boom, boom. Right away. Just okay, cool.
Yeah.
And the juices, the competitive juices are yes. just going to flow. And they're just going to do things at a different level, man. And I just found it fascinating, Jay.
I do too, and you're right. I mean, it's things that we do now in this business we're in.
Yeah.
And we're in scenarios where we might not even understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But we can look at each other and it's just like, oh, it's go time.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yep.
I'm really interested in this answer. Where do you see the negative implications of that competitive
yeah.
side mm-hmm. that not only athletes have, but other people have
yeah,
with
a lot
that
of people
same
have
mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? Where does it come out where it's like, okay, I need to be aware of this, right? There's always a negative within a positive,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And because I've seen this in my own life to mm-hmm. where it's like, I can't compete in everything.
Yes. Like, and that's the negative.
Right. I gotta, you know.
That's the negative.
Right.
That's the negative. Is that everything isn't a competition. It's just not.
yeah,
yeah, it's just
yeah.
not a competition.
Especially if you want to collaborate and build a better world.
A lot of things are cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are collaborative. Right? And if you don't view things as collaborative or as cooperation, if you just view a lot of things as strictly competition, you're going to miss out on the benefits of a lot of situations because in your head, everything is a competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't win like that.
You need people. you need help.
You need that. You can't win.
Very true.
You need people.
Very true.
And so it's almost, you have to try to find the balance between competition and cooperation.
Yeah.
And if you're able to put those two together, now you're winning.
See.
Now you're winning.
See, and that, yes, and that is why I believe in always putting yourself in uncomfortable positions
mm-hmm.
because no matter how competitive you are in uncomfortable positions, you probably need somebody else.
Yep.
You probably need to collaborate.
Yeah.
And, you know, tone it down a little bit.
You're on Strictly, right?
Exactly.
You can't win without your partner.
No.
Can't do it.
Won't happen.
No. But you guys are still competing against other people.
Yeah.
You understand
yeah.
what I mean?
Yep.
So you're going to have to collaborate with your partner. You and her are going to have to be on the same level. But then you got to switch that competition on against everybody else.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, when it's go time, it's go time.
It's go time, it's go time.
You got to have it in you.
Period.
That's true,
you
man.
Cooperate, compete. Cooperate, compete. Just go back and forth.
I like that. I like yeah. that. And you just being aware of that and being aware of how you react is kind of the key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what we see with all these great players out there. They got a great sense of what they are, who they are, and how they operate. What kind of mask does Simon have on today, OC? Okay. Oh.
Aggression Blake.
Yeah, he's got a suit designer mask on.
Suit designer mask on.
That's how he's living.
Yeah.
That's.
They're paying him too much. That's all that is. That's I got it. A plastic. What's your? My mask is like cost literally maybe ten pence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
something like that. He's got on the suit designer mask.
Yeah, but your shirt though.
Yeah, the shirt. I have nothing else. He's living his life with his mask. He's enjoying his life with his mask.
Is it time to get to a couple of Ask OC? Ask J. Bell.
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I start?
Please.
Let me start. Kurt Milner. Kurt Milner.
I feel like I know that name.
You do?
I think okay. So, but go ahead.
All right. Could you see a New England Tampa Bay Super Bowl, and who would win?
Could I see a New England Tampa Bay Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Yep.
I don't put anything past Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, especially with that behemoth they got playing quarterback down there.
Wow.
Monster.
Yep.
He's having an incredible season. I'm so happy for him.
I hope he gets a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
And then Tampa Bay, I think defensively they're good. Offensively, I don't think we've seen the best of them yet, but they're just there.
Yeah.
They're coming.
They're coming.
I expect them to do better than they've done. Can we see those two meeting in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes. Who would win? I would never bet against New England Patriots.
If they make it that far, right?
Wouldn't. I would bet on New England to win that game.
Yeah.
I would.
I'm with you on who would win, but yeah, you never know. It's early in the season, and both of these teams, if they stay healthy,
yep.
They got a shot. And that's the big thing right now, health, right?
They would destroy Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
They would definitely.
I think they would destroy him.
That would be so fascinating to see what Belichick would do and what kind of defense.
He
might come out with something we've never seen before.
Here's why I say they'll destroy it. Here's why I say New England would beat Tampa Bay, hands down. It's because they know New England. Know every single positive and negative attribute of Tom Brady's game.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
They know what he can do.
That's
they
a
know
lot of
exactly
information.
What he can do. They know exactly what he can't do. Right?
Yep.
On the other hand, they're running New England a completely different offense.
So he can't necessarily help them. Right.
He can't.
Right, right. His nuggets aren't going to be significant.
No,
it won't be the
not at all.
Yeah.
So true. I feel like New England will have a clear advantage.
You're right.
In this game, and they would beat Tampa Bay.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask J. Bell.
Oh, what?
I get to ask a question.
Wait, I don't. That's not.
I get to ask a question. It's my turn. Have you seen that Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp when Skip Bayless is screaming, "It's my turn"?
Them dudes are hilarious.
I love it. It's my turn. And then I think Shannon was interrupting him. And Skip was like, "It's my turn."
He was dead serious?
Oh, he had turned red. He was so angry. He was so angry.
Oh.
This is from Teresa Tess.
Okay.
I like that name. Okay. Teresa Tess. Teresa's a wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
Love the pod.
Yes.
Love the banter.
Mm.
Are you okay with a Strictly question?
Have to be.
Yeah. Question is this. Are you a good dancer? And do American football players, we don't call them footballers.
Yeah.
Do American footballers do well on Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, they do. They do well on Dancing with the Stars. A few of them have won. And let's
are
see.
You a good dancer, Jay Bell?
And
is
am
the first
I a good
question
dancer?
She asked.
I have good footwork because of my position in football, defensive back. I have good footwork and I can dance.
Mm.
This is different though, because dancing, you know, on a dance floor at a wedding or a party is a lot different.
Yeah.
Than what I'm about to do.
I literally can't wait to see.
I am so frightened.
I'm so excited.
But I think, you know, I got balance and coordination.
Mm.
And as I say that, I'm like, oh gosh. So yeah, I got hope. Look how many NFL players have won. Well, Jerry Rice was a runner-up.
Yep, Jerry.
Hines Ward won, the receiver. Emma Smith won, my former teammate.
Good for
Lawrence Taylor was on there. I didn't know that.
Quite sure he didn't win.
Donald Driver, who had the same agent, won.
Good footwork.
DeMarcus Ware, is he on now? He's done it. D. Ware's done it?
I didn't know that.
Wow. Terrell Owens has done it. Chad Johnson. Kurt Warner was on there.
Really?
And Rashad Jennings, former Giant, he just won.
I'm surprised Chad Johnson didn't win.
That's how many really good footwork NFL players have been on.
Yeah.
So I am now representing over here.
You are.
I have pressure.
Yeah. Have any soccer players done it?
How did he do?
Bad.
Ooh.
He's a goalie, though. That's, yeah. You know.
Any rugby? How are the rugby guys?
Improved.
Good. Yeah.
Rugby guys did well on it?
Yeah. That's good. You know what I'm doing, OC? This is my game plan. Truth be told. Control what I can control. And just be coachable.
Yeah, but that's what you just said is coach talk right now. That's coach talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know what coach talk is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Control what I can control.
Yeah. Coach talk.
I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to give it my all. Yeah. That's number one.
That's coach talk.
I'm going to control what I can control. That's number two. What else did they say?
Effort. Effort and energy.
I'm
going
to give a great effort.
Coach talk.
Okay. Oh, it is DeMarcus.
Is that DeMarcus? Ooh, DeMarcus got feet. Ooh, I see you, DeMarcus.
He just looks.
We're watching our buddy right now do it in the States.
DeMarcus just looks big and awkward, man.
He just looks. Yeah, his that. You know what?
Big and awkward.
I don't know how they fit some of these fellas in them shirts. Some
easy.
Of our. Easy. They got their first team all chest.
Don't do this no more. It's not for big guys, man. It's not for big guys. It's for the little guys.
It's not for big guys?
No. You just. Oh, my God.
We are watching DeMarcus Ware right now on Dancing with the Stars in the States, and OC is cracking up.
DeMarcus.
Don't laugh at me like this.
What are you doing?
He looks good, man.
Oh, my gosh. DeMarcus. This is for the little guys, man. It's not for the big guys.
DeMarcus, if he can hear this right now, D-Ware.
She snapped his neck.
She snapped his, man, that was an aggressive dance routine. That was aggressive. Wow. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Simon.
Yeah, that was a.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go home and stretch. Now. Is any. Do you have any tips?
I have literally zero.
All right. All right.
You asked me how to pass rush. I'll give you that information.
I have your support.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
For sure.
That's all that's all we need.
That's all we got, man.
Well, that's it, man. You know, we coming live every week, giving it what we got. Watch the show. We're going to have some interesting conversations, do some interesting things, right?
Yeah.
You ready?
I love our show.
I do.
NFL show is such a dope show.
It's fun. We have a great time.
Yeah.
It is all good. And we love our podcast. Listeners, shout out to all of you.
I really love our podcast.
I'm going to give a shout out. Walking my daughter to school. Walking her to school. I see a guy walk by me with a scooter.
Yep.
Probably did the school run too. And a guy walks up, getting my daughter, getting ready to roll in. He goes, J Bell, you know, love you and OC.
J Bell, right?
Yeah. And I'm listening to the podcast right now.
Wow.
On the school run.
Wow.
In the morning.
How strange is that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I saw him again today, and I just look at him.
What's up?
What's up?
That's all you got to say.
That made my morning.
That's dope.
You know, school run?
That's fascinating.
We get your ear on the school run?
That's fascinating.
Man.
I'm so happy for
you. Love our peoples.
I'm so happy for you. I really am.
That's for us.
I get that, but I'm just so happy for you and... Just this whole 5-year journey.
Oh man! It's fun. It gets better and better and better. And
you're on Strictly now.
I know. I'm literally.
We made it.
This conversation though has got me. I'm worried.
We made it.
Till next week. We are out. Holla at us. Uprise all day. We made it.